Various artists.
So you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Eva Duren is a multidisciplinary artist and recipient of the Arts House Trust and Dunedin School of Art Graduate Exhibition Scholarship 2025. Eva works within spaces of sculpture, ceramics, audio and installation, in which she navigates the complexities of personal identity through her experience as a first-generation immigrant. Her current exhibition at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead, Under the Bridge, follows Eva's journey as she retraces the path of Aotearoa's first Chinese immigrants, visiting these historic sites of the gold mining settlements of Lawrence and Arrowtown through tracing the path of the Clutha River. Throughout the journey, Eva collected these organic materials of the land's temporal memory, bringing them back into the studio in which the organic materials were transferred onto pieces of material that Eva then hand-stitched into hundreds of xiaobao that form a riverbed along the gallery floor, bringing together a beautiful display of collective memory and dialogue that speaks to the quiet strength that has passed through generations of Chinese immigrants. I caught up with Eva about the show and overall practice. Would you like to start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice a little bit?
Thank you, Maya. My name is Eva Duren. My family name is Ding, D-I-N-G. I've recently decided to give myself a new name, Duren. I'm literally taking the meaning of it, feeling I'm on a journey of something, as we all are, from birth to death, from one place to another. So my name is Eva Duren. I'm a sculptor. I came to New Zealand from China about 12 years ago, lived in Auckland for a few years, and moved to Dunedin. I enrolled in my studies at the Dunedin School of Art in 2020. My art practice started with ceramics, as I studied for a diploma in ceramics during the first 2 years at art school. Then I finished my BVA in sculpture. That year, I started exploring different materials and making methods. After completing my honors in BVA, I continued my studies in the Master of Fine Arts at the Dunedin School of Art. And I'm currently in my final year and will graduate in September next year. I guess that was because of some reflections on my immigration journey. Over the past 12 years, so my practice has always had an interest in social topics, such as gender and identity, especially when these issues intersect with broader contexts, including race, different cultural backgrounds, and of course with different political systems. And recently, I've found myself more focused on my personal experience and memories and the relationship between my own memories and the collective cultural memories. There's this contradictory feeling living in a different country, and these differences are something I find very interesting to keep exploring. So yeah, I'm glad I have chosen art. And I feel so lucky to be able to communicate through art about something I don't know how to put into words.
Your current exhibition, Under the Bridge, exhibiting at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead, showcases a beautiful body of work that includes hundreds of hand-stitched xiaobao that form a winding riverbed along the gallery floor. They form a riverbed that kind of links back to your research for this work, where you retrace the path of Aotearoa's early Chinese immigrants along the Clutha River. What influenced you to set out on this journey, and what was the experience like for you?
This project, from start to finish, is about a year and a half. It didn't start with the idea of making xiaobao, but quoting traditional Chinese quotes like my late grandmother used to do when I was a child. I remembered that she was always sewing, and she had made all my toddler clothes and her own clothes and made quotes as well. It was this memory of her quotes that made me feel safe and warm and became something I wanted to reconnect with. I have always felt a bit lonely because my cultural identity as a first-generation immigrant, the past decade living in Aotearoa, New Zealand, had been a great experience. At the same time, there were moments of alienation and disconnection, a sense of being in between, not quite sure where I truly belong. I don't want to, nor should I completely abandon my traditional culture, I think, but I have been challenged to make choices to fit in. So I started to look at the past and the Chinese people who came to Aotearoa, New Zealand a long time ago, and try to understand how they adapted this new land and the new culture. And that's how I started reading things about the history of the gold rush in 1860s and decided to revisit the mining sites, especially those that the Chinese miners had lived and worked before. Then I found out their journeys were a lot harder than mine, such as their harsh living conditions, residing in a camp outside of the town, and the pull tax that differentiated them from the others under the historical colonialism context back 160 years ago. The journey had given me a lot of back and forth thinking about how to get in touch with these miners in my imagination, as we were both first-generation immigrants. We must have had lots to share with each other. I had brought my own childhood experience of feeling cared for and loved by my grandmother, and I wanted to share this love with them as well. So the work eventually became a montage of things, jumping between my conversations with my late grandmother and my memories and my imagined conversations with the first generation Chinese miners across time and space.
And how did this journey of retracing this path of early Chinese immigrants influence your creative practice, particularly this body of work?
I was thinking of a similar question a few days before about what had influenced my art practice. The journey of retracing the historical mining campsites itself didn't really directly influence my art practice. It's more like a space or a background where I can practice my own way of thinking and making. Mm-hmm. What had really influenced my art practice, I'd say, were the collective cultural practices that were restored in my childhood memories, like what my grandmother did, my mother did, and other Chinese people did. These memories shaped me and my current art practice. As I mentioned before, it started with sewing traditional Chinese quilt last year. I was looking for a shelter to feel safe and warm, a sense of protection, I guess. The making process was very therapeutic. I felt like I became my grandmother somehow when sewing, like putting thread through the needle, stitching, and then putting it out and tying it at the end. Felt like an overlapped moment of memory and presence. I think of if we all had some memories restored for moments of comfort. I don't know, a flavor, a smell, a thing, a place, or someone's face, someone's voice, or a touch, a hug, a feeling. It was me. I was looking for this moment of comfort, and I simulated dialogues in my head while making a body of work.
How beautiful. And
thank you.
Yeah, and these forms themselves, these intricately hand-stitched xiaobao, are filled with these beans and grains. Are they in reference to a particular form or memory?
Yeah, these xiaobao came from the form of a little pouch we used to play with in China as children. I did a bit of a research on how to translate xiaobao into English properly. There is something called dodgeball, right?
It
could be quite similar to do xiaobao, I think. For xiaobao, it's a little sandbag sewn with off-cut fabrics and the material that parents can easily find at home, and filled with beans and grains that are restored in the kitchen, or sometimes just filled with sand. As xiaobao translates in English literally, a sandbag. Xia means sand and bao means bag. So basically, two kids on each side tossing a xiaobao to each other, and the one in the middle dodges. I got hit once badly by someone's xiaobao filled with kidney beans.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was painful.
Yeah.
So I got home and asked my grandmother to sew me another one. Sew a stronger xiaobao to fight back. And she didn't do it for what I demanded. Instead, she had asked me to reflect on the pain that I had at that moment and reimagine how painful it would be if I did the same thing to others. That was the particular memory that drew me to transform the making of quotes into the making of xiaobao. And this transformation of the form in making means a lot to me. For me, making quotes means making a shelter to hide in when feeling hurt. But making xiaobao, I quoted a thin layer of inlay into each xiaobao to make them lighter and softer than the traditional ones. As for me, it is a choice to refuse to pass on pain to others. So if the quotes were the moments of comfort, xiaobao are the reactions of what I chose to do after the pain.
And do you want to speak, you already talked about this connection with your grandmother, but do you want to speak a little bit more to the process of making these forms? What was it like for you?
Yeah, I first cut the fabric into 6 square pieces. And then laid out a thin layer of inlay and sewed them inside out like a cube. And after sewing each joint line, except for leaving the final line to turn the form inside out again and then to fill the greens and beans into it. I made different sizes. Since I've done hundreds of them, I don't want them to be uniform. Some are quite large and definitely not the size of xiaobao anymore. The weight was about a balance. I didn't particularly measure how many beans I put into each bag, but I would manually hand weight each one to feel the right balance. Then I sewed it up. The process was quite long. It took almost 1 hour to sew each of them from the cutting to the finishing. I got the faster though in the end since I've sewn hundreds of them.
Yeah.
But it felt just like sewing quotes I did last year. It didn't feel tedious. Instead, I felt quite connected.
Yeah, I imagine it would be quite meditative after a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and also circulating this project is this Chinese proverb that you reference, which translates as fallen leaves return to their roots. How does this proverb feed into this project?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Fallen leaves return to their roots in Chinese as 落叶归根. As a metaphor of saying no matter how far one travels, eventually, they shall return to their hometown, reconnect to where they belong. a sense of belonging and connectedness with the land and the living space, I think. Many of these miners had died on this land in Aotearoa, and their ashes were never able to be seen back because they sank into the ocean during the shipping. I visited the camping sites in late autumn and early winter, where I saw the land was covered with these fallen leaves and branches. I got quite emotional seeing those things. So I picked them up and brought them all the way back to the studio, tied these fallen leaves and branches onto the fabrics, and then I used indigo dye to trace them with the tie-dye method, the traditional method Chinese people use to dye their fabrics, I think in some of the other Asian countries as well. So I hope these shabo have become something beyond the traditional shabo. As for me, they carry the memories and stories of the land where the Chinese miners lived.
And the installation of the shabao is quite beautiful, referencing this riverbed, but also it has this layered association to the accumulation of memory and time. Do you want to talk a bit more to this choice of installation as well as its layered meaning?
The installation had turned these shabao into the stones in the riverbed, but they're lighter, softer, and warmer than the literal stones. I hope to bring the counterintuitive feelings to the viewers in thinking of what actually can become in the future after so much water under the bridge. I guess it is my way of expressing my hope that these heavy things become lighter, whether they are the stones from my past immigration experiences or the stones where they used to find the gold at that time.
And also included within this work is this wonderful audio element. Do you want to speak a bit to this element as well as its importance within the experience of the work?
It is a 35-minute audio narration. As I mentioned before, during the making, I simulated these imagined conversations with my late grandmother and these miners across time and space. I wrote them down and turned them into this storytelling. I shared it with people because there are so many first-generation immigrants who may have had similar experience to mine. That's how we communicate throughout, right? To those who have similar living experiences, we resonate with the familiarities. And to those with completely different experience, we exchange our unknowns, I guess.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. Such a nice pairing, and being able to hear those conversations.
Thank you.
And lastly, what are your hopes for viewers as they engage with this work?
That is a big question.
Yeah.
And it is something completely out of my control. There will be 1,000 engagements from 1,000 viewers, I think. And each with their own perception, and each is unique. But I appreciate this uniqueness.
That was Eva Juring speaking to me about Under the Bridge, which is on at the Arts House Trust at Parr Homestead until the 18th of January.